is a Venkast Studios production.
Welcome, welcome to day two of Riding the Pines playoff podcast. I am Hondo here with Gee. What's up, Gee?
Yo, what up, man?
Man, it's a full-time job getting into the NBA playoffs.
Quickly realized day two of the NBA playoffs.
You're just like, oh my god, I gotta take a break. I gotta eat and probably should go to the gym. And
I don't
just
have time
like,
for that.
Just like, did you go outside today? No. There's four games on. There's no time to go outside.
I woke up to my alarm being like, oh shoot, I'm missing opening tip. Yeah. Instead of like a casual lazy Sunday.
Yeah. So it'll start to tame down tomorrow, but for the first couple days, holy cow. Mm-hmm. Just massive amount of games. Hey, but there are some great games today. Let's just go right into it. You know what? We're gonna go right into it. We have to go right into it. There's no other option. So we are gonna go right into gameplay. So we are gonna go. Let's go into the games for Sunday. What is it? Sunday 16th? The 16th. I'm just like, man, it's all blurring together at this point.
It's the day after tax day.
Day after tax day. So we'll just go right through it. So our first game up is the first game of the morning. This was the Wizards taking on the Hawks. Wizards end up winning this thing 114-107. Boy, the end result did not throw me off whatsoever. Mm. The Wizards are crazy, crazy good, and they have been crazy good this season. And I'm like, I don't think Atlanta had anything to... I don't think they could do anything to stack up against them here. Mm-hmm. Some people are predicting this in like 6 or 7, and I'm just like, no way. What could possibly happen in order to bring Atlanta into the win column here for this series?
Yeah, I mean, the theme of this series really is Beal Wall versus Dwight Howard's resurgence,
yeah.
Dennis Schroeder, and others, right? Like, mm-hmm. And how does Millsap kind of basically obtain his status as a B-star all-star, you know?
Yeah.
I think both of us are in consensus here. Like, Atlanta has no shot in this series.
No.
But they made this game very competitive. I would say the first quarter, the first half, it was tied. You know, like, the first half, even Atlanta was leading for a while. Mm-hmm. And Beal was kind of off. You live and die by the three. If you're shooting 2 for 11 from three, you're being inefficient. You're losing production from one of your stars. That's an opportunity. That's a place where you can take advantage of if you're Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
But then they go to their game, which is they should be down low and everything with Dwight Howard and Millsap. Look at their post-game stats, man.
Yeah.
8 shots from Millsap. 6 shots from Howard.
Yeah.
Okay, so they don't take advantage of their advantage.
No.
And they're just chucking from three.
Yeah, but then if you're not taking care of... If you're not taking advantage of your height down low, yeah. You're going up against some of the best guards
right.
in the NBA... And it's just like, you're not going to win there. You right. will not win. You right. will not win if it's a match between Hardaway Jr. and Schroeder and Wall and Beal and those guys. They will not win. And these guys, so let's talk about the fact here. Schroeder is like the leading scorer for Atlanta in this game.
Yeah,
that is not who they want to be leading the charge here. I think they absolutely need Millsap leading the charge in order for this thing in order for them to take over. And they need much bigger production from Howard at this point.
Yeah. Some of my keys for game two, we could jump into game two later sure. and more in depth,
sure.
but more Millsap, more Howard.
Yep.
You know, less Schroeder, in my opinion. But anyways, Stars and Stripes uniforms for Washington, they look super dabber, man. Like, they yeah. look so slick. Oubre was super hype as fuck before the game started.
Sure.
Markieff Morris, dude, I... don't know why I would ever say this, but like every team needs a Morris, you know?
Yeah.
Like him. He is crushing it on the boards, post defense, blocking yeah. out, getting blocks, making threes. He's doing it all. Every team needs that kind of enforcer-esque person.
Absolutely.
And they have a couple of them in Gortat, Morris, and to a lesser extent, you know, Jason Smith and stuff like that. So it's really cool seeing that. And then finally, the freaking general of the... I know.
A much lesser extent, Jason Smith. All right.
I know. I heard myself say that.
Okay.
And then you had the enforcer in John Wall. Like,
oh, yeah.
From the guard position. And he's solidified his his place in the top 10 in the NBA right now in terms of NBA players. John Wall, postseason John Wall is really fun to see. You have that, you know, that chip on your shoulder. He needs a breakthrough. You know, he needs to get past a couple series here. He's shown that he needs it. He's shown the swagger. Him and Beal are getting up on every play, making hollering noises and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he goes 12 for 24 for 32 points from John Wall.
Yeah.
Boy, he's not done. 14 assists. By the way, like one or two turnovers. Like he's the general on the court.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Lets his team get in the flow of the offense. No one's like out of rotation there. You know, like Porter could take 10 shots, but he doesn't need 10 shots. You know, Markieff Morris doesn't need 10 shots.
Sure.
He might get occasionally 15 or so.
Yeah.
But he's distributing it really well.
But so let's talk about one thing, though. And this may not end up being an issue in this series, but I think it will be in future series for the Wizards. Their bench has to add more for the Wizards. Like, their starters are rock solid, and we both know that with Morris, with Porter, with, you know, with the Polish Hammer, you know, all of those people, and, you know, the obvious stars in Wall and Beal. Like, those guys can run the table, but in order to play competitively in the Eastern Conference Finals or someplace like that, they need to have more depth, because they cannot be giving full game, you know, these guys cannot be running 40, 45 minutes. They will get exhausted and they will get beat down in that series. I think there's more to come there. But
you're right. Bogdan Bogdanovic needs to show up. Like, he was a no-show in this game. Mm-hmm. And Oubre and Brandon Jennings are probably the only two players that mattered on the bench this game.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. But they're not as deep as you probably initially thought.
Mm-hmm.
They were so lucky and so fortunate to get a Brandon Jennings and a Bogdanovic at the trade deadline, you know?
Yeah.
Because they didn't have that depth.
Yeah, I'm really not worried about Oubre and Bogdanovic, but, like, they just are not having any value from these other guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I think more is to come. Boy, the 3-point shooting from Beal here was just kind of atrocious.
It was awful.
But I think that's not how they win.
That's not going to be sustainable. He's going to go 6 for 10. He's going to go 7 for 11.
Yeah, no, he'll change
so
it.
He'll break that.
He'll change it up. And the, you know, the key to the Wizards is physical ball. Is physical ball and just speed and just just running the court.
Yeah.
Those guys have it when they leave it to the general. So, okay, let's go into thoughts for the next game in this series.
Well, if we look at Atlanta in more in depth, we don't need to. it's a short sentence, right? Like, there's no real need to. But they need to trim their roster in terms of who they're playing. Look at them, all the bench players that they're playing. Large minutes. They don't need any of that. They found a gem in Ersan Ilyasova. Why? And 20 minutes and got, like, you know, stable production, 10 and 10 essentially.
Yeah.
They need more Hardaway. They need more Howard. They need more Millsap. And they found, you know, a rookie or a second year player that's doing insanely well in Taurean Prince.
Yeah.
They need to ride that. And they don't need. I know he kind of came out of nowhere.
So. Okay, because I'm racking my brain, and I was looking at this earlier.
Yeah.
When did he, like?
Yeah.
How long has he actually been with the Hawks all season?
Yeah. I think he's a rookie.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I'm just like, I was looking at it and I was still kind of shocked. And I'm like, I've been watching games all season. And I'm like, I really don't know that much about him.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, is that Tayshaun Prince? No, that's Taurean Prince. So, yeah, interesting.
Well, I'm just saying, more Millsap, more Howard, more Junior or Hardaway Junior.
Mm-hmm.
But don't do anything that's, you know, out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
And really bring the game down to your pace. Don't make John Wall's pace the pace of the game. Right?
you won't win. They won't win.
You'll get completely swept, as it looks like it will happen. So my plan for my keys to game two, if Atlanta has a shot in the series, less Schroeder jacking up threes, more distribution to Millsap and having Millsap slow the game down and take 20 shots.
Yeah.
Not 8.
I also think more candy bars for
more
Dwight.
Candy bars
more Dwight, for Dwight Howard. I like, how are you not stocking this man up? He needs the power down low. If he's gonna super slam, he needs the chocolate infused super slam.
Yeah.
there's no question about that. All right, so let's move on to another game. There were four games today, so boy, there's much more to come. Mm-hmm. All right, next game. Next game doesn't.
I know.
I don't know. You know, it's like, how much do you really want to talk about this? This is Golden State taking on the Blazers, 121, 121, 109. The Blazers are not playing bad in this game. The Blazers are not playing bad, but the Blazers have to understand who they're playing in this game.
Yeah.
And it's just, when I looked at this game and started thinking about the themes, the caliber of the Warriors. But the other theme I started looking at is just like, who's scoring, and is it atypical from what they did in the season? Mm-hmm. No, there's no like stellar performances. This is like day in, day out, grind in, grind out, like just like completely bring it. And they don't even really have any stellar performances. Durant goes for 32, Curry with 29, Thompson has 15. Like Thompson could go for 40 right. the next game. Mm-hmm. It's almost impossible to predict what's going to happen. You have a pretty good feeling that Curry's probably going to go 25 to 30. Durant's probably going to do about the same. And then it's just like the other guys just kind of fill in as they need to.
Right.
So it's like, I don't know. I don't know what can be done. You know, but on the Portland side of the equation, just a monster game from CJ McCollum today. Absolutely monster. And that's, you know, that's going to be what a lot of people point to in this game. But it's just not enough. Yeah. It's not enough. You have CJ and Lillard going for a combined 75.
That's stupid. It's funny.
That's stupid and outrageous. And Lillard has some of like probably the best crossover of the entire playoffs.
Spanning the 48 hours across the globe.
All 2 days. We're just wired here. What can Portland actually do, you know, to dent Golden State at this point? Is there anything they can do, or is this a four and out?
WWPD. What would Portland do?
I was trying to think through that. Happy Easter.
I don't know. Wear those wristbands. Rip all the city. I would say Portland needs to recognize that they're going to get swept and act accordingly and just not show up for games. Honestly, CJ McCollum isn't scoring 41 points ever in this series again, right?
Yeah.
If he does, great. They're still losing.
Yeah.
Okay. Look at the bench. Now, that's exactly what needs to change. Alan Crabb needs to actually shoot more than 5 times. Alan Crabb needs to get the ball more than, you know, 8 times.
Yeah.
All right. So Lillard is shooting.
I mean, he's playing 22 minutes with 5...
With $75 million in his pocket.
Five shots and $75 million in his pocket. That's not going to work out from it's not Brandon Rush type bad, but, you know, whatever.
This starting lineup is new to this series or to the Portland Trailblazers. I think they usually start Aminu, and they switched it out because of matchups. So Mo Harkless is starting and Noah Vonleh is starting. By the way, Noah Vonleh, you are trash. Get off the court. You suck. Anything that you can do, Portland, to not have him play, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Evan Turner is starting and is playing, and that sucks because Evan Turner is not a good basketball player. Okay, so there's a theme here, right? The theme is Portland, you suck because you don't have Nurkic right now. You are competitive with Nurkic,
yes,
but you probably still get swept by the Warriors.
So what? Just for my benefit and edification, when Nurkic is playing, what does the starting lineup look?
Yeah, it's Nurkic, Harkless,
okay,
and Aminu, and then
Lillard McCollum. Okay. Yeah.
And it's a much better defensive stance, and they don't need the offensive production from Mo Harkless and Evan Turner, apparently, because they have Nurkic in the middle, right? They have Nurkic that can get production on the middle.
Sure.
Okay. And it also keeps Golden State honest, right, if Nurkic isn't there. I low-key think Nurkic is done for the series and for the season.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to hide it and mask it with some random storyline. Oh, he's, like, you know, visiting his family. Or he's, like, you know, taking care of... He's painting some Easter eggs right now, you know? He just can't show up today. He's stuck in traffic. His stencil's broke, you know? Like,
this is outrageous.
Yusuf. Yusuf paints Easter eggs. Sponsored by Ryan the Pine.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I have no idea, but this is the best Easter playoff episode I've ever done.
Yeah, it's the only one we've ever done. Very, very specifically amazing. okay, and then, dude, I just want to say, like, Golden State Warriors, watching them in their zen state, like, watching them shoot, the way they shoot, how they orchestrate offense for better offense. Draymond Green kind of wasn't himself in the beginning of the season.
Sure.
And he is just fucking rocking it.
Oh, God.
Okay, they kind of let Draymond kind of shoot, and they're going to ride Draymond in terms of him getting open looks in terms of Portland. Mm-hmm. But then he was making all the shots, so they had to switch it up in the second half. So then, you know, then Steph Curry went off. I believe the end of the game was all Durant and all Green, right?
Yeah.
It was just back to back to back to back.
He almost has a triple-double.
And that's like a quiet triple-double, dude. Like, it's crazy.
19, 12, and 9?
Yeah.
I mean, still. And he's just, like, his butt. He also had 5 blocks in this game. Some monster blocks. Some, like, literally some of the best blocking that I've seen the entire season.
It's like, get off your seat, break your chair, kind of get up.
It's like watching. It's not quite as entertaining for me as watching DeAndre Jordan just, like, power swat somebody. Yeah. But, you know, this is a definite second to me.
Yeah, I mean, it was tied 88-88 at the fourth quarter. So they are competitive. They are, if they're making shots, like McCollum was fucking god in the first half.
But there's a dial. There's a dial. There's a dial here that just says, "Hey, Golden State,
it's the fourth quarter.
We're gonna go to 11." You don't have that volume on your speakers because that's only we can listen to it that loud.
The decibel level.
Yes.
That's hilarious. I would say. 41 from CJ, 34 from Damian Lillard. That's amazing, not sustainable. Need to get others involved. Need to get Crab involved. Need to get Crab 15 touches a game, you know, 15 shot attempts a game.
Okay.
Evan Turner, as great as he is, as bad as he is, he needs to be less involved as well. And it's just Crab, McCollum, Lillard, and a little bit more Aminu. And I feel like there's going to be something there, maybe more Harkless. Mm. More Harkless.
That's fine. All right, so let's just go into thoughts and predictions for the next game in this series.
Oh, well, if KD keeps introducing new moves like the inverted Euro step that I watched today, like, nothing can stop him.
Yeah,
not even himself. You know, like, it's insane.
But
a 30-point beatdown.
But are we willing to theorize what happens when he faces himself? No, it's fine. It's
if he faces himself, he has the question to ask: do I shave or should I go?
You know? Oh wow! Oh wow! So okay,
A 30-point beatdown is my answer.
I'll go at 20. I'll go at 20. There is nothing. They're incredible. They're incredible ballers in terms of Dame and CJ, but that two. They have 2 and they need 5.
They need more points than Golden State. Good luck, you know, like, that's how you win the game. Golden State, like, Klay Thompson's not going to shoot 1-for-6 from 3 next game. He's going to shoot 5-for-7. You know, he's going to shoot 8-for-12. Like, he's scoring 40 points in the next game or so, you know, so.
All right, okay, let's move on to the third game of today, and that was the Bulls and Celtics. Bulls pull this one out, 106-102. Shout out to Danny's here from NBA Thursday. What the hell, Danny? This is just...
And MTG.
No, of course. But Danny was talking all kinds of shit on Slack, so I had to mention it.
I also predicted this, too.
You did.
So shout out to me.
So, but are we gonna play into the full narrative here? Like, it's because of IT and because of his emotional situation and... the, you know, kind of what he's going through, is that the reason why this happens? Or is
no.
It, okay.
I do want to say two things about this. Yes. I feel terrible.
Yes.
I feel terrible at this situation because 24 hours later he has to play a game.
Yeah.
And he's not even, like, in the mental state to play, and he fucking rocks it. Yeah. He gets, like, back-to-back and ones.
Yeah.
Back-to-back three-pointers. Goes to the line 12 times. Like, he's in this game to win it, giving it his all. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like Boston has a problem on their roster, and it's not enough of everything. Like, they have a lot of little things, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have a good defensive player in Marcus Smart. They have a great defensive player in Bradley, but they're small. And Isaiah Thomas is small. They don't have size in the back in the guards position. So Butler, Wade, I mean, Rondo can kind of have their will, you know?
Yep.
And I guess the strategy for Boston is to have Chicago beat themselves, and Chicago almost did. Like, in the third quarter, they were making Mirotić shoot, like, every possession. from three and missing, by the way.
Solid 0-5 from three.
Yeah, he made that layup. Otherwise, he would have been an O-man. So, and Boston, though they have great defensive prowess, they don't have anyone to take over the game other than Isaiah Thomas, who will be guarded and defended by Rondo to a great extent, you know?
So here's my question here. I mean, they do have some high-caliber players, though, beyond Thomas. Whether they can actually take it over is the question. Because why can't Horford take it over? Why can't Horford take it over? Why can't Bradley take it over? I know that Crowder's not going to take it over, but, like, Horford is that caliber. He should be able to do it.
Why don't they dump it down low? I am very interested in that. They should do more of that. And he had a really efficient, right, 8 of 13 or whatever game for, like, he had 20 points or something. Mm-hmm. He's doing his work, but he needs to do more for Boston, and he needs to realize this. Like, do it for Isaiah. Do it for Boston. Go all out.
Just not enough.
Chicago's not a cakewalk. Like, there's a reason why this is a suspect series, right?
Yeah.
There's chaos in here because there's a lot of storyline with these two teams. There's a lot of lineage of history. In addition, you're not going to blow out a team that has Jimmy Butler on it.
No.
Jimmy Butler is also what Paul George should be, right? Mm-hmm. Paul George should take over the game and take control of the game and not let anyone else do anything about it.
Yeah.
Not defer.
Can we just...
And Jimmy Butler took over the game. You know?
Yeah, and once that happens, it's over with. I mean, Jimmy at his peak is better than I. Well, let me see before I say this, is Jimmy at it? I'm going to say it as a question, not as a statement. Is Jimmy at his peak better than Isaiah at his peak?
Yes.
Really?
I think so.
I think. Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna grovel on that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, well, it doesn't need to be answered by us.
No, it's going to be answered in the comments. Yeah, so Hondo, you're full of shit. Put it, you know, put it in the comments.
And we get so many of those comments.
Oh yeah, hey, God. Hey, man, you got.
We love it. Keep it up, guys.
Yeah, keep the mailbox full. So, but let's just talk about a couple of crazy stats here. We got Lopez has 14, Rondo with 12, Wade only has 11 in this. Hmm. Bobby fucking Portis has 19 points. Mm-hmm. I was kind of out of pocket for this game, and it's just like you sent this stat to me, and I was just shaking my head. What happened?
You were SMHing. I was gonna say, do you recall the Chicago podcast we had?
We had
these two teams on the podcast. We talked about Chicago and Boston on that podcast.
Because this is fun. This is kick down, drag out type basketball.
And this was the dog days. This was even before the season.
I remember podcasting about it.
I said Crazy Eyes needs to have more of a presence on this team.
Hey, somebody found that. Well, somebody found that. Somebody also found Paul Zipser. He came off they locate him on the milk carton.
He's now on the bench.
Paul Zipser is back. He's
They're so inspired.
Yes. Oh my God.
Praise the Jesus on Easter.
So,
but Portis had 8 for 10, couldn't miss from 3, 19 points. That's remarkable. I don't think that's like going to happen again.
Yeah.
Because that's not sustainable, but neither is Mirotić shooting 1 for 9.
Yeah, Mirotić, no.
He'll have a 10-point, 12-point game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But Ryan Portis, like Portis is your, in a really sad way, like your future in depth right now. You need to procure that.
Portis is future depth.
Portis' future. Thank you for holding it up right there.
I just held it. I just held it right. Hi, Simboima.
Well, anyways, Jimmy Butler, man, he had these like I think it was like back-to-back possessions for 3 when it was getting close. If not, Boston was up, and he just took over the game. Went to the line a bunch at the end, and though he had a lot of turnovers, you kind of take the good with the bad, and you ride Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is going to take this team as far as he can go, and Jimmy don't play like that. Like, he's going to go all the way with him, you know, with how he can play. And in his post-game interview, he was just saying, like, it's on me. Wade's giving me all the confidence in the world that it's going to be me, and I'm going to do this for the Chicago City, the Chicago, and for myself.
So, all right, so I'm just, it's late, and I'm just trying to think through this. Let's say, theoretically, that Chicago wins. Who do they face in the second round?
Well, this is the 1-8, so they're going to play
the 4-5
matchup, so it'll be Washington.
Ooh.
So good luck, Chicago. they're fucked.
Why? It's your second round is harder than your first. Yeah. You're the eighth seed. Yeah. Adam Silver, you got this one so wrong.
I know. Yeah, it would have been really, it would have been so much more interesting if it was like the full 16 teams reshuffled. So like the one versus the 16 seed.
And yeah.
Anyways, that's for another day. That's for another conversation. That's for another amount of energy that we do not have currently.
Right. So.
Usain Bolt, prediction.
Yeah, predictions.
Game two, Chicago takes game two.
Oh my God. You know what? I'm just going to do it. I got a Chicago shirt. I got a Chicago hat. I'll just bust them out of the closet. But I think they only win by about like five.
Yeah, it's going to be a very similar score, probably even less. Maybe like 96 to 90, you know?
Oof. Okay. All right.
That's what I think because I'm sorry, Boston, but like I don't believe in Isaiah Thomas and everyone else. Like you need something else. You need a Horford miracle. I don't know.
A certified Horford miracle. Yeah. All right, let's go to the last game of the evening, and that's the Rockets taking on the Thunder.
I was so hyped, man.
Yeah, boy.
I was so hyped for this game.
118-87.
MVP versus MVP.
MVP versus MVP.
MVP. And Andre Roberson versus Patrick Beverley.
All right, so can I just, before you talk anything about this, Andre Roberson, like, at one point was 4-for-4 from three, yeah. And I was like, I've never seen that. I've never seen that.
I've never
seen fucking pigs fly. I've never, never seen it before. Roberson just shooting like that. Like, Roberson is so terrible. He makes me shut off most Thunder games, even though Westbrook is there to kind of redeem it. Like, he is so awful in stretches that I have to look away. So
yeah, Westbrook is usually the redeemer, but he had 9 turnovers, which is, I think, more than the Rockets combined. And also, you probably don't see pigs fly because your shades are up. You know, you got to open the world to you, you know? You got to see the light, which is Andre Roberson, which is not much. It's a very dim light. It's one of those, like...
You have to see the light, which is Andre Roberson. I hope that's never said to me again.
It's on the dimmest setting. All right, anyways.
Clap on, clap off.
Clap on, clap off, Andre. All right, Roberson.
So other big performances. So Roberson goes off. Westbrook, kind of an okay game. Looks like...
It was an awful game.
Just an awful game for him?
Yeah, 23 shots, 22 points. 7 assists, but 9 turnovers.
Well, he has 9 turnovers, but he has 22-11-7. He almost has a triple-double in this. But
yeah, and now we're getting him exposed. Like, does it really matter?
No, right? I'm telling you. A triple-double doesn't matter if you don't win the game. Right. Winning the actual game matters a hell of a lot more.
6 made shots. Just saying, like, that's awful.
Ooh.
6 made shots in a 48-minute game. If you scroll down, like, Rockets actually had the story here, right?
Yeah.
If you were to base your MVP vote or your ballot on who's MVP after this game, it's obviously Harden. Harden had a stupid efficient game, you know, not so much from three, but he went to the line a bunch. He demoralized OKC by doing those, like...
Just the whipping?
The churning. Yeah.
He produced a lot of butter.
That, as well as like hitting, you know, 3 free throw shots after getting hit from 3 or something like that.
Yeah.
But he goes for 37. Like 37 casually, James Harden. Puts the game away.
Who does he cross over like a chump in this game?
Oladipo. Every time. Every time. He's
just, like, standing at the top of the key.
Oladipo's like, I want that facial hair. Next possession.
He just goes one hand and just throws Rogaine at him. Like, yeah. Just like, take that, steal Oladipo.
No, the storyline of this game, but we'll talk about the theme of this series in a second, but the storyline of this game is Patrick Beverley and probably a little bit of... And a splash of Harden as well. Beverley, of all people, 4-for-6 from three. He's known to not outscore his, you know, his opponent.
Mm-hmm.
He basically contends with Westbrook point for point, shot for shot. He made more shots with less, you know, with more efficiency, mm-hmm. more threes with more efficiency. He had more rebounds. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of insane.
Yeah.
Less turnovers, +18 versus -25. Like, He only played 25 minutes. Like, it's incredible that Beverly had such an impact. Remember, Beverly, kind of the Beverly Westbrook connection is really has a long history to it, because Beverly knocked Westbrook down and got him injured in the playoffs. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, and then OKC lost that series. So Beverly is back, you know, and Westbrook is back, and then they get into these like little bouts here and there. It's pretty interesting to see them. Yeah,
but watching Beverly play, I mean, it's pretty fun. Like,
you gotta, like, I kind of hate watching him, but yeah, when he's on your team, you gotta love him, right? So like, I'm rooting for OKC, but Beverly's kind of fun to watch in this series because he's making Westbrook the best player he can be, mm-hmm, and he's also exposing Westbrook a little bit too.
Yeah.
Okay. Unsustainable. Anderson, Gordon, Lou Williams, all these like really great shooters didn't shoot very well. That'll change.
Yep.
Okay. Westbrook going for 30, or Harden going for 37, probably will be like 25, 26, and Beverly going for 21 will probably be like 6 to 10 points, right?
Yep.
Okay. I'm changing my tone on this theme. It was really Westbrook, right? Like, how is Westbrook going to really just enact his will on the series? I think he has no shot now. After this game one, yeah, he completely got exposed. He's going to keep Westbrook in check. Like,
yeah, Westbrook, but Beverly is one of the best defenders out there.
And then, but you had Andre Robertson, which is also kind of a great defender on James Harden.
Yeah.
Who's also got probably crossovered a bunch too.
Yeah.
But James Harden's game is efficiency. Westbrook's game is I'm Kobe-ing you, you know, like I'm taking over this game. But if you're not allowed to do that, if you're shooting and chucking and whiffing from mid-range, you're out-efficiencing you're not being as efficient as you can be.
Mm-hmm.
The Rockets are just going to outgun you from three.
Yeah,
and then you have the efficient player in James Harden. So, like, it was going to be a competitive series for me. And
now it's just a competitive sweep.
And maybe go into seven and be OKC's favor. But I don't know. This kind of killed the vibe for me. Like, I think this game is... This is going to happen again in game 2.
Cuz where was this game?
This is in Houston.
This is in
I know.
That's not good.
It's not good. So they're riding all this momentum already, and they had a pretty inefficient debut from all those shooters, right? Yeah. They're going to shoot and make those shots next time in this game. I don't know, man. Like, how does Westbrook and others contend with that?
I don't think they can.
Look at that. Like, Westbrook was the leading scorer. And the next leading scorer for OKC was Andre Roberson.
Yeah.
They had an issue.
This, you know, frankly...
go ahead.
Frankly, this... As of right now, I'm putting this game second only to San Antonio-Memphis in terms of blowouts.
I know.
I wish I didn't have to say that. Yeah. I think there's a greater likelihood that... I don't know how I dare say this, that Indiana... upsets Cleveland. Like, I think there's a greater likelihood of that because they just, to your point, they got exposed today. They absolutely got exposed. And they have, like, weird performances from players who normally don't put up those type of points, even on OKC. So I think they could actually go for less.
What are the adjustments they have to make? Like, Westbrook is going to be like, I got to take more control, right? For game 2, I'm going to take even more control.
Yeah.
That's going to be even less production from those players that are going to get spot shots.
Roberson is going to have way fewer points.
Right.
Adams he's not going to have that many points. Westbrook has to have it. Oladipo has to have it. And yeah, maybe you get a few more points out of Cantor or Grant, but I don't see it happening.
I don't know. Man. Your starter Taj Gibson at power forward or whatever gets one rebound. Congrats. Your Cantor, you're like the best offensive rebounding team in the league, and you get out rebounded by the Rockets. You're not a great 3-point shooting team, and you take 33 point shots. Like, do what you need to do to win the game, but really realize that you're not in contention here. If this is what you're gonna. If you're going to repeat performance here, and as I said, what kind of adjustments can you make?
I don't think they can do anything. I think it's still going to be fun. It's going to be competitive. It's going to be aired up or just like hyped up.
The narrative is going to be super hype.
It's going to be hyped up, but it's not going to have the underlying fundamentals to it. So we'll go from there. All right, we're gonna look forward to the next couple of games for Monday and make some predictions here.
But just really quick, dude, it's. game two is going to be the same as game one. I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. Game two is the same as game one. I don't know if it's 30 points, but it's probably 15. It doesn't look good. unless there's just an ultra performance of some kind from Westbrook, which I still don't think it'll happen.
All right, looking ahead to Monday.
Monday, Pacers and Cavs.
Game two.
Game two, and Grizz and Spurs, game two.
Hallelujah. I think both are going to go as predicted.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Pacers are going to make it really competitive, but I really feel like the Cavaliers have their number in every position. So Cavaliers and Spurs in a monster 20-point stomp is probably 100% guaranteed.
Yeah, I just don't see. I really don't see any other way.
Like, unless Chandler Parsons gets voted off the Bachelor, like, or Bachelorette, you know, and he gets a starting spot back.
Chandler Parsons getting voted off the Bachelor is the only thing I have in my head right now. Anyways, all right, that's gonna wrap it up. I'm really, really tired. And you know what? That's gonna put 8 games away for the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, we knocked it, man.
Eight games away. Hey, we only have 2 to cover tomorrow. So we're going to dig all the way in.
What is it, 40 games in 40 nights? That's the mantra for this. We have 40 games to cover.
40 games in 40
nights. We have 40 nights of this. Closing thoughts, remarks.
I wouldn't have it any other way. Yeah. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Keep watching ball.
Peace.
This has been a Venkast Studios production.